You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is The Air Up There by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Twins sound cute, but I done had one at a time. When I done had one at a time, the baby would wake up and I would go, babe, the baby crying. You don't have that option when you got twins. Because when one baby cried, the other baby cried. Both of y'all got to get up. Okay. You ain't got nothing for them to suck on, but you just hold them close. Twins require double work. Twins require double money. Twins require double formula. Twins require being in school at the same time. Twins require two being in college at the same time. Are you listening to me? And sometimes stuff looks so cute, you don't know what you're asking. Do you have that capacity? One child is driving you insane. Talking about the children blessing from the Lord. I'm tired of hearing that scripture. Children are blessed from the Lord. They don't know my child. Children are a blessing from the Lord. And the Bible says even two are better than one. Many don't know what's required for the next level. Call this the air up there. Pastor Marshall first said this years ago. We asked for prosperity. We asked for big family. We asked for big ministry. We asked for a big car. We asked for a big house. We want that. We want this. And you got your BMW. You got your Mercedes, you got your Jaguar, and even though it says only put premium gas in there, you still pulling up, riding around town, looking for the cheapest gas you can find, and putting the lowest grade in there. You wasn't ready for that vehicle. You want to look good. I told y'all, I was watching this thing, they had on 60 Minutes, I think $300 million car. Yes. $300 million car. They did a special on a 60 Minute. What is it? The Bugatti? Bugatti. 300. And they were talking about all the things you could buy. And so the person interviewing the person from Bugatti Corporation, who the $300 million car, the person interviewing him asked him, he said, how many miles per gallon? The man looked at him and said, I don't know. We haven't even factored that in. Know why? Because if you weren't about how many miles, what in the heck you looking at a three? He said, that ain't the questions you need to be asking. At a certain level, certain things got to be settled. You don't hear me? Certain things got to be settled. That ain't even a question. So you got to be prepared to breathe the air up there. How many of us have heard of Mount Everest? I believe Mount Everest is supposed to be like the tallest mountain in the world. Let me read you some stuff about Mount Everest, talking about this air up there. When they reached the top of Mount Everest, which is a height of 29,029 feet, now, y'all need to understand, the average commercial plane flies at 30,000 feet. So the mountain is the height that planes fly. Smaller planes may even fly at 20,000 feet. So Mount Everest is 29,000 feet. So as they're climbing, climbers will face a myriad of physical obstacles, including avalanches, falling rocks, whiteouts, shifting ice, crevice falls. But the psychological challenges are just as, if not more, dangerous. It's not just what it does to you physically. It's what it does to you psychologically going at that level. I grew up in the projects. I lived on the 11th floor, okay? So I grew up living in a very high place. And yet, when I go to visit places and stay at a high level in a hotel, I look out the window and I still get a little wheezy. Still get a little dizzy. Because even though I'm on a stable place, being that high and looking down, even though I'm not about to fall, it does something to you psychologically. Sometimes you at certain levels, there is responsibility that does something to you psychologically. Y'all understand what I'm saying here. The relentless weather conditions can cause a laundry list of illnesses. Pneumonia, frostbite, acute mountain sickness, which is known as AMS, severe exhaustion, dehydration, psychological damages from witnessing other climbers get injured or die. So while you going up, you see somebody else falling down. Y'all ain't hearing me here. And you still got to keep going up. And one of the primary causes of death, however, is lack of oxygen. They can't breathe the air up there. And as climbers continue to ascend Mount Everest, oxygen becomes scarcer. They say if you ever felt lightheaded after blowing up a balloon, then imagine a sensation with an added 35 pounds of gear and merciless weather conditions. They may give you the idea of the struggles of Everest climbers face with each step. In fact, the oxygen levels at the top are only a third of the concentrations at sea level. At elevations above 26,000 feet, which is known as the death zone, humans cannot survive for any length of time without the help of oxygen masks. So the higher you go, the harder it is to breathe. And then you get to the point that you need some help. It's bad to try to rise up by yourself and not have help. John Maxwell says something. People always say, it's lonely at the top. It's lonely at the top. He said, if it's lonely at the top, it's because you didn't take anybody with you. In order to minimize the risk associated with high altitude sickness, many climbers, watch this, make several trips up and down the mountains to increasingly high elevation camps in order to adapt their body to the harsh conditions. In other words, you don't make this in one trip. You make a series of smaller trips. Though thy beginning be small, your latter end will greatly increase. And most of us, we fantasize about being Superman. We want to jump over tall buildings in a single bound, one trip up, and not realizing it's a lot of little trips that prepare you for the big trip. He that is faithful in least is faithful in much. Well, when I make 100,000, that's when I'm going to tithe. God said, you're a liar. You won't tithe off the 10,000. Somebody said, I knew he was going to work that money in here somewhere. Little by little. So they make a series of smaller trips and getting their bodies used to the next level. Look at somebody and say, you got to prepare for the next level. Individual susceptibility for altitude sickness varies greatly. And whether or not the climbers has made an effort to acclimatize to the conditions with a slow ascent, it said your chance of survival is how much you've prepared for it. Even individuals who are extremely physically fit can fall victim to the daunting trials of Mount Everest. Listen to this. Today, more people than ever are trying to climb the mountain, but only one out of four will succeed. 25% will succeed. Others will either die or give up. And it's estimated that about 120 bodies remain on Mount Everest. While some have been respectfully located, others are in places that are simply too dangerous to reach. So, and because it's so cold, these bodies are not decomposing. As you going up, you see somebody else who tried to make it and didn't make it. As you going up, you see somebody who died trying to make the same trip that you are now making. Look, somebody say, you better get your head together. If you're going to succeed at anything, you got to be able to go past everybody who died trying to make it. If you're married, going to make it, you got to forget about everybody who got divorced in your family. If you want to pay all your bills, you got to forget about all the people who joke about having bad credit. You got to push past all the dead bodies who died along the way trying to make the same journey that you're on right now. Ask your neighbor, can you breathe air up there? Yet, with all its danger comes its beauty. The adventurous souls who take on the ambitious task of climbing Mount Everest do so to experience the majesty and the mystery that it beholds. And surviving one of the world's most dangerous climbs can teach people a lot about themselves and push them to new personal limits. But the trials of Mount Everest cannot be overcome without knowing how your body will change with each step up. Each step up, there got to be a change. Each step up, you got to think at another level. Yes, it is true. There is a devil for every level. But you got to get your thinking together. If there's a devil for every level, there's an angel for every level, because there's more with us than who are with them. In other words, but you got to be prepared for the spiritual warfare. This can look real glamorous, y'all. Being a preacher, being in front of church, you know, and I see so many people who have no clue. They take this stuff lightly. Want to take every appointment because you cute. You got a little gift. You have a desire. You got a title. You might even be riding on a name of saying, I'm connected with Right Direction Church International, even though we don't even know your name, but you tell anybody you're an associate minister here, and I don't even know you. And they don't know the spiritual warfare, the attacks that you get because you preach to other people. They don't know because you have presented yourself as an instructor of others, the devil said, I will ruin your testimony. I will silence you in that area. Me and Bishop and Pastor Mary Seawright, we were at dinner the other night talking about all the tragedies in ministry. And even colleagues who we know whose names are horrible. I said, the unfortunate thing about that, even though they can preach, is certain things they can't preach about. Are you hearing me here? So the Bible says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But if I'm known as an adulterer, I can't preach on that. The Bible says, thou shalt not fornicate. But if I'm fornicating, I got several babies in my own church that ain't mine. And I hope the rest of the folks don't find out about it. I can't preach about that. So I can preach about God gonna bless you and joy cometh in the morning. But I can't tell you how to make it through the night. You better preach her. I can tell you that God is strong, but I can't tell you how you can live strong. People don't know. And sometimes they just weren't prepared for the attacks. I don't know why women in the church are fascinated by the pulpit and the bandstand. Could be as ugly as a mule's behind. But they get fascinated. And then some of the the fools in the bandstand and in the pulpit, they really think they're all that. And they don't realize it's the what they perceive as glory, fame. And don't have a little something, something. You know what I'm saying? Because I ain't going to call them a gold digger, but they ain't going to have no broke. That was for the young people. That was for the young people. That's the gospel according to Kanye. And sometimes you got to realize all that, all it is, it's a test. The higher you go, it's a test. It's a test of your character. It's a test of your integrity. It's a test of your faithfulness. So God, can God trust you to go up there, wherever your there is? Will you continue to represent him up there like you do down here? Or will you start smelling yourself? Likewise, there must be knowledge, preparation, and even practice for the next level of purpose and destiny in your life. Now, I'm about to wrap this up. This is a good introduction. My objective in this teaching is not to deter you, is not to scare you, and is not to discourage you from pursuing your dreams and going for the next level, whatever that is. And not to deter you, to scare you or discourage you from going to the next level of glory. It's not to deter you, scare you, or discourage you from promotion in life and promotion in the kingdom of God. Rather, my objective is to prepare you for the heir at the next level. Jesus was always preparing his disciples for what it was going to be like when he wasn't here. He was always preparing them. You know, he was telling them, y'all got to go deeper. You're going to have to be more spiritual. He said, because right now, anytime the storm comes, Jesus, wake up, wake up. He said, you're going to have to learn to calm your own storms. Jesus, you're going to have to learn to rebuke your own winds. You're going to have to learn to conquer the spirit of fear. I said to one of our members who've been with us forever, I said, and she didn't tell me about her current house. I said, you ain't never asked us to come over your house. You know, when we got the first house, then got Nancy. I said, you ain't never asked us to come to your house. I said, bless your house, come over your house. Then I thought about it. I said, I know you say, Pastor, I can bless my own house. I said, I ain't mad at you. I'm glad. Because some of you, you know, I mean, I think you honor us and all that. But you better know how to bless your own house. Because I might just go through the motions. Bless. And if you got demons in your house, I ain't coming back. I blessed you one time. Handle your business. Better know how to get the demons out your own house. Come on now. And the bigger the house is, they may have more hiding places. Got to get them out of all the rooms. Open up all the doors. Devil, you got to left here. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Can't be calling pastor. Somebody recently, one of our, said, you know, something had happened, and they got ready to call me at 2 or 3 in the morning. And they said, and then the Lord told them, no, go ahead and pray. I said, thank you, Jesus. Because I may or may not answer. I said, I'm telling you the truth. I may or may not answer at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Because the songwriter said, Jesus is on the main line. Tell him what you want. If you want your body healed, tell him If the songwriter did not say, "Herb it on the main line, tell it what you want, oh, in the midnight hour, tell him," no, he did not say that. He did not say, 2 o'clock in the morning, call him up, call, no, he didn't. Jesus said he was always preparing people for the next level, and their next level was presiding over the church, representing him on the earth when he was no longer physically with them. Parents, let me remind you of what our job is as parents, is to prepare our children to live without us. Amen. They got something they call helicopter parents. Those parents just try to hover over the kids their whole life. Okay? And some of us, you know, we want to jump in every situation. There are some things that I could have bailed my children out of, and I didn't do it. I guided them through it. I counseled them through it. Because if I bail them out, they're always going to be looking to me to bail them out. But if they bail themselves out, you know what they say? I ain't going to never be in that situation again. Part of your job as parents is to prepare your kids for the next level. For when you're not going to be here. To help them make decisions that are independent of you with the wisdom, with the guidance, and with the word that you put in them. Somebody said something to us recently, and we've been encouraging other parents with it. Don't trust your kids. Trust the word you put in them. Amen. Glory to God. So you can't trust them. They're flesh and blood. But there's word that's been put in them through this church. There's word that's been put in them through Minister Joy. There's word that's been put in them through Sister Tanya. There's word that's been put in them through our children workers. There's word. And we putting that word in them. We were talking to our children a couple weeks ago, our grandchildren, over dinner. And I asked them, I said, what y'all learned about in children's church today? They said, commitment. I said, well, what's commitment? And Righteous said, it's when you stick to something. I said, all right. I said, what are you committed to? Alina said, gymnastics. And she is. She does 4 hours practice straight a couple times a week. That's commitment. I only want to be in church 4 hours. Commitment. And I said to Righteous, I said, what you committed to? He said, math. I said, all right now, you better be committed to math. He said, because I'm good at it. He said, when the teacher gave me the question, I get them all right. And I even know divisification. I said, you better know that divisification. Y'all can laugh all day. I bet you don't know divisification. So our kids are learning commitment, because to go to the next level and stay at the next level, it's going to require some commitment. To keep serving the Lord when your body wants to do something else, it requires commitment.
Many of us want to go to the next level. The question is, are we able to withstand the air at the next level? Dr. Herbert Bailey explains that going higher in your purpose may require you to breathe a little differently. Order this powerful message today. You may also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. Ask for The Air Up There.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our 3 locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.